As above, so below.
Welcome to Connecting with Coincidence. I am your host, Bernard Weitman, MD, and we have quite an interesting guest today. Ryan Suspanik studies meaningful coincidences in an academic place called Columbia University's Teachers College. He leads the research initiatives in the Awakened Awareness Spiritual Intervention and the study of synchronicity in the Spirituality and Psychology Lab, which is directed by Dr. Lisa Miller, who's I've interviewed before on this show. So welcome to the show, Ryan, and it's been a pleasure talking with you. It really has been already, and I look forward to continuing contact with you. But why don't you tell us the story about how your grandparents met?
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Bateman, for having me. And yeah, it has been a pleasure already just getting to know you and talking to you. So one of the stories of synchronicity that I think is so amazing in my family history is the way that my grandmother and my grandfather met. So both of them were born in Ireland. They both came to the U.S. by boat, separate boats, and they met in the Catskills of upstate New York. My grandfather at the time was working at a factory, and he had a burn. There's a factory fire, and he was burned on the factory line, which is a horrible event any way you look at it. No one wakes up in the morning and says, oh, I hope I get burned today. It doesn't happen. It's not so-and-so a good thing to happen. So he gets burned, badly burned, and he ends up getting an injury compensation settlement. They give him some compensation because of the accident. And he goes out and he buys a new car with that money. And he's on his way to a dance in the Catskills, like an Irish dance. And this, I think, was more normal at the time, more safe at the time, I guess. But he stopped and he gave a ride to hitchhiking to a bunch of hitchhikers. I'm also going to the same dance in this area of the Catskills. And so my grandmother and her friends get in my grandpa's car and they go to the dance together and they have fun. And obviously my grandma and my grandpa met that night. And I want to say the rest is history, but not yet. So that's how they first met. They met because my granddad was burnt on the factory line. And then he used that to get a new car. And that's what led to my grandparents meeting. And obviously, I wouldn't be here right now if that didn't happen. So one of the lessons there is, like, thank God my granddad got burnt. Like, thank God he had that factory fire. And that led to his picking up my grandma if she was hitchhiking. And then another synchronicity. So they met then. They connected. And they didn't immediately sort of develop into a dating relationship and then marriage. Many months later, my grandmother also was sick. She got tuberculosis and had to go to the hospital, which is, again, not something that you would ever want to happen. It's a sad thing. It's a dangerous thing. And so my grandmother is in the hospital, and her hospital mate was being visited by another gentleman who, at this time, my grandpa had to go and serve in the Korean War. He was called to service. And my grandmother's hospital mate was being visited by a gentleman who was in the same division of the army as my grandfather. And so my grandma and my grandpa weren't currently in touch, but this gentleman comes to the hospital, visits my grandma's hospital mate. She's sick with tuberculosis. And they start talking. And it turns out that my grandpa, Thomas Raleigh, was in the same army division. They make that connection. My grandma tells him, hey, tell Tom Raleigh to send a note card, like a card to the hospital. And so the gentleman goes back and he sees my grandpa, Tom Raleigh, my grandpa then sends a note card to my grandma in the hospital. And after she got out, my grandpa and my grandma met up. They dated for a few weeks and then they got married. And then the rest is history. And so I think, again, the idea that someone can be sick and in the hospital, and that's in no way traditionally a good thing. No one wakes up and wants that to happen. But being awakened to what was happening in the moment, that's really how my grandma and my grandpa got together. So these seemingly unfortunate situations led to a happy outcome in the end.
Yeah, that's a really important message you've got there, Ryan. And are you incorporating that into your research, the idea that the bad can become good in this way?
Definitely. So in awakened awareness, there's a meditation called the Road of Life. And so where traditionally we have sort of two types of awareness. One is achievement awareness. So the idea that if you're working really hard towards a goal, you really had this in mind, you're striving, you're exercising sort of self-will, you get there and the door won't open. But then all of a sudden another opportunity arrives and it's more suited to your path, more aligned with who you are. And that comes about. And then you realize that there's this other type of awareness, awakened awareness, which is basically showing what the universe is telling you in the moment, leading you and guiding you to do. And so incorporating that into that's a big part of the awakened awareness program, but also in the synchronicity studies, looking at how the universe can use closed doors to lead to bigger, wide open windows of opportunity.
Yeah. And the important thing is to keep looking after the door closes and be open to the possibility that a window might be there.
Absolutely.
Well, that's we come to this study of coincidences with our own experiences. And here you're here because of a burn and tuberculosis. And that's made you have to realize that the bad sometimes can lead to something good if you're alert, looking around. And the key thing is to be able to be looking around. Now, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with you, Ryan, is how old are you?
33.
So I wanted to be able to talk with people around your age who are interested in synchronicity and to be able to get some idea about how your generation, as best as you can tell me, is looking at the synchronicity, serendipity events. How if at all they are incorporating them in their lives as best as you could see.
It's a amazing question, and I think that they are. I think that what we're seeing is that young people are straying away from religion, organized religion, and they're looking for spirituality. I think they're looking for a path that makes sense to them, where they're led, they're tapping into something that's greater than themselves, but not one that's divisive, maybe not one where there are rules and regulations, but where they can tap into their authentic freedom. And so I would say that that they are definitely aware of synchronicity, and I think there's a lot of new age thought that I think is leading towards that as well. But I don't know how they act on it. And I think that's a big part of your work and your research, is that when a synchronicity or coincidence happens, it's not a standalone event. It actually means something. It's an invitation for something.
It's an invitation for something. Recent research in one of the psychology journals suggests that synchronicity awareness improves life satisfaction. And the data are there pretty good, pretty well. I can send it to you if you haven't seen it. It states that, yes, it can make synchronicity awareness can make your life better, because what happens when you're when you're doing this and this scale suggests it, you become aware of it, but then the meaning of it is applying it to your own personal life, to your own narrative. So you take the event, as you're implying, and you put it in your own life, and you don't know how many people are doing that. And that's the question that is a research question, but it's a sense that I'm asking you about, and you're bringing up the question enough so that means some people are. So what I'm trying to be able to help people do is make that connection more fluid, more solid, more potentially useful to say, yeah, this stuff happens, and there are different ways to use synchronicities. They can be used not at all as maybe just fun, because some of them are just really hilarious, and some of them are really guidance, and some of them you better not go that way, even though it seems to suggest you should. And you run into, if you do, you're going to run into a little problem, but then maybe you can turn into something positive. So the pragmatics of coincidences are less important to me than the explanations. But I like explanations too. I mean, I like figuring how that stuff works, and so do you. So could you tell us something about the work you're doing in and your spirituality lab at Columbia?
Yeah, so we're kicking around much the same questions that you're looking at in terms of the meaning of synchronicity, the meaning of coincidences, why they happen. And I believe that synchronicities happen at the intersection of psychology and physics. So there's something interconnected between them. And as we were talking about before this, the mental psychological atmosphere of the universe and the notion of quantum entanglement, quantum physics, that we are connected both physically and then we're also connected psychically. And so looking at how synchronicities emerge is an important topic, and how it affects people's lives is also, sometimes people may feel like they're on a path, but don't have direction, or they're not where they're supposed to be. And I believe that when someone has a meaningful synchronicity or coincidence, all of a sudden you're exactly where you're supposed to be. There's no way, if you have a powerful, miraculous synchronicity, like the one that you, the story that you shared about the union analysts, and the gentleman was reading the book, and the synchronicity is there, the miracle that had happened, there could be no doubt in that person's mind that he wasn't where he was supposed to be in that moment. And I think when we look at cosmology and the study of the origins of the universe, it becomes clear that the universe has expanded in the beginning so precisely perfectly that the universe is really perfect for us to be alive and for us to be conscious in the moment. And so finding and connecting to that perfection and the harmony of the universe has amazing effects on one's psychology, one's health, happiness, joy, and living into that current reality. That the universe is perfectly constructed, and that our minds have to sort of be aligned with that. And I think that's what synchronicity and coincidence allows us to do.
I haven't quite felt it the way you are feeling it, Ryan. I understand the idea, but the fact that it appears that this universe we're in seemed to start as one little highly intense something or other. There's debate about that. We don't really know what happened, but it gave some, that idea, that means it's still all connected somehow. And so that the synchronicity experiences begin to show that what seems to be chaos and random really is not, that it is all connected because it was all connected. And then we find out how it's all connected. And the more we find out how we're connected, the more harmony comes to our lives here. Is that a good way of saying? Is that what you're saying?
100%. Yeah, and I think we don't live, or it's easy to go about our daily lives and think that we're in the structures, as we were talking about before. New York City has its own unique psychosphere, and it's easy to go about one's day in New York City and thinking that getting on the subway is the only time where you're moving quickly, right? Oh, the subway is when everything happens really quickly. But the reality is that we're orbiting right now. We're in this miraculous cosmic ecosystem, and the precision through which the Earth is in orbit is incredible. It could not, no human could devise that. And I think synchronicity is a moment in one's inner life, inner psychological life, where they realize that they are not separate from the dance. As you were saying before, there's sort of a dance that can happen between people, but also between physical objects. And I think if you look at the sun and the moon, or I mean the earth and the moon, and the earth and the sun, there's this cosmic dance that everything is connected. Everything is sort of doing a waltz.
Yeah, you like to dance. I can see that. That's as it is a dance. Whether it's a waltz or something else, it depends on you. But there's some rhythm going on around there. And one of the basic rifts of reality is the sine wave. It's the sound and light follow sine wave, but so do a lot of other things. And so when you're dancing with it, there's a certain rhythm that you can get into that's part of the rhythm, that's the background thing, that's really all part of where we are. And you're doing the dance. But I'm glad you brought up by mistake the sun and the moon. That you meant some sun and the earth and the moon, but and that's part of it too. But one of the most obvious coincidences is that the sun and the moon appear to be about the same size, and yet they're 93 million miles apart. And why is that? Because the moon is 400 times closer to the Earth. And the moon has been moving further and further away from the Earth, but it shows up for us now when we could see that the movement of the moon has gotten to a place where it can block out the sun in a solar eclipse. And so that's a coincidence to look up in the sky, the sun and the moon, the same size. And so even if you want to come up with the universal constants that have to do with why we're able to be here, and my favorite is where did chlorophyll come from? Nobody knows. It got it stuck in some microorganisms, and these micro, how did it get in those microorganisms that then blossomed into being able to have us eat something? Is another amazing thing. We don't know how that happened, but when you look at the sun and the moon and they're about the same size, what a coincidence. What is that, a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence when you can explain it somehow. And there's an explanation we're getting to, which you're referring to.
And what is that explanation?
You were starting to say it. It's all started from the beginning with all together. And there's a harmony in it. There's a harmony among us all. And the sun and the moon are telling us to pay attention to that coincidence that's up in the sky all the time, telling us they're the same size. But how'd that happen? Well, not just a coincidence. They are signals up there in the sky to say, pay attention to synchronicity.
And what do you think synchronicity points to?
I'm sorry?
What do you think synchronicity points to?
What you're describing is that we're all interconnected. And what the Coincidence Project tries to do is to illuminate the hidden currents that connect and unite us.
Right. The idea that we're not separate, but we're connected.
We are both separate and connected. The important thing is to recognize that you're a Ryan and I'm a Bernie, And we got our own little thing going on, and our own ideas of who we are, but we ain't just who we think we are. We're connected. We are connected to each other in various degrees, in various ways, but we're separate, much like the cell in a body is a separate and functioning, but also part of the greater whole.
I think it's so important. And I think that media is changing, is going to change things a lot. So I think when you think of movies or TV or social media, things fly from one side of the planet to the other. And I think synchronicity is an archetypal truth, an archetypal reality that when things line up, it triggers something in the human condition that says, wow, look at that. That's amazing. That's a miracle. And I think that that's going to continue to happen at a faster and faster rate because of the connectivity of technology and media.
Yes. And the psychosphere that is this mental atmosphere I was mentioning is also like a mental internet. And as the internet itself begins to grow, the capacity for the mental internet to connect with each other through mental and emotional ways through the psychosphere is also increasing, I think.
It's fascinating. There's no subject that I enjoy talking about more and studying.
Well, if you could give us some idea of what kind of research you're doing there, because it's, I think our audience needs to know that there's formal research going on in a very good Ivy League school about synchronicity. What are you researching?
So I'm doing research in the spirituality and psychology lab at Teachers College, Columbia University, and we are currently documenting historical synchronicity, the way that synchronicity is both awareness of synchronicity and how synchronicity is carried or transmitted. So I believe that it's possible to transmit synchronicity both physically and psychologically, and basically mapping out the spread of synchronicity throughout different populations and seeing how synchronicity has changed the world and also changed individual lives. And so there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that synchronicity can open someone up to the possibility of there being a higher power, that there being something greater than oneself. And then through that awakening, through that new lens to look at life, they find meaning, they find purpose, they find a sense that they're not disconnected from the universe, they're not a stranger in a strange land, but that they are where they're supposed to be. And I think research has shown that the power of spirituality to heal, to bring happiness, joy, peace, alleviate symptoms of depression, alleviate symptoms of substance abuse, suicidality. And that's why I love the research that we do, is that it really is making an impact. And this message, I believe, is going to make an impact on people's lives as they wake up to coincidence, as they wake up to synchronicity, and they step into it, right? So synchronicity could be a knock on the door, but ultimately it's an invitation to a spiritual life, an inspired life, and hopefully a life of service to make the world a little bit more of a better place.
Beautiful. I call that synchronicity as a psychotherapeutic intervention.
Have you practiced that in your practice?
Yeah. I mean, I get people who want to talk to me about psychotherapy, about synchronicity, but for the world, it becomes a psychotherapeutic intervention in the way that it helps psychologically and spiritually, as well as some very practical ways. You're describing mapping how synchronicity spreads. Please tell us more about that.
Yeah, so there are a number of elements to that, but you could look at, if you look at spiritual awakening, one way that you can conceive of it is it's spread through communication. It's spread from one human to another. And so there's a saying in numerous spiritual traditions that faith comes by hearing. And I believe that synchronicity also, in many ways, comes by hearing. And so if, for example, I remember having many synchronicities before I even knew what the term synchronicity was. I didn't know who Carl Jung was. I didn't know that there were people studying synchronicities, and I was just having powerful synchronicities. And I remember being like, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't know. I wasn't a spiritual person when I first started out having these occurrences. And I realized that I had to pursue knowledge of it, but it came through people. It came through other people telling me, oh, like this happened to me too. And then I was able to relate and then develop meaning from that. And one synchronicity after another synchronicity led me on a path of synchronicity, whereby now I'm on this spiritual path. I have spiritual guidance. I'm led and guided, at least that's my inner psyche. And I believe that I've tapped into a source of love, strength, and peace that I didn't have before. And synchronicity is a pivotal part of that. It's not the only part, but it's a big part in terms of leading and guiding, and especially in the beginning, opening my eyes to the fact that I'm not alone. I'm not alone in the universe. I'm not a closed system. I'm connected to the source from which all things come. I'm connected to the universe, that the universe is still expanding, and I'm part of that ever-expanding universe that is both, as you were saying before, a separate and together. You were saying that you have a Ryan thing going on, and I have a Bernie thing going on, and that's true, but yet we come together and we're connected.
Beautiful. That's really where I was going, Ryan. I'm glad we got going on that riff. That's a good song. You ought to put some melody to it. It's like that's very well said. You describe how it's communicated by one person to the other, and we have this Coincidence Cafe on every Saturday at 11 o'clock, every third Saturday of the month at 11 o'clock, where people tell each other coincidence stories for just that purpose, to not feel alone and to start feeling more connected. Is your program creating situations where people can tell each other coincidence stories?
Definitely. Definitely within the Spirituality Mind Body Institute, there's a culture of journeying together where people are encouraged both through classes and just through community to share sort of their spiritual experiences and their stories of synchronicity and what that synchronicity leads to, which is sometimes even more exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's the really important part of it. So you're doing it within the spiritual community you were developing there. Are you having any kind of outreach programs to help other people who are not in the program do the same thing?
The program has many, many different outreach efforts. I know Dr. Miller is doing amazing, incredible things with regard to the synchronicity study that I am currently working on, and the group that I work with within that lab. We don't currently have any outreach efforts ongoing, but we do have a number of papers that we are working on that we're excited about releasing and sharing with the world, and sharing some of the insights and the stories and revelations of what synchronicity is and why it's important and its impact.
Well, I got to see those. So you have a lab and you have a wonderful idea. One, of course, I'm way behind, well behind what you're doing. I just am trying to see what you're doing in the lab. A lab is a place where you mix reagents and cause chemical reactions. At least that's what I thought it was. But what is your lab?
So the most of the work that we're doing right now is historical. So we're looking at archival historical information, and we're in the beginnings of putting together historical documentaries and documenting, mapping synchronicities and making connections between events, making connections between the study of psychology, the history of psychology, the study of physics, the history of physics, also looking at how institutions of higher education has influenced the cultural understanding of synchronicity, of spirituality, and hopefully we're going to come up with, hopefully we will be able to tell some pretty powerful stories of how people's lives have changed through synchronicity,
yeah,
through tapping into the power of harmony and the harmony of the universe,
yeah,
and developing that harmony both inside and outside.
I hope you'll look at the section in my book on simultaneous independent discoveries, because that seems to fit with what you're talking about. And there are plenty of references there that will get you out into maybe a little different branch of what you're describing historically, as it's part of the same process as far as I can tell. So we've come to the end of our time, and it's a little bit too short, but I respect the time that you have been able to spend with me, and I appreciate very much being able to talk with you and get to know you better. If there's a place that your group thinks I might be able to be of some assistance, I'd love to offer that assistance, because I think what you're doing is absolutely wonderful.
We will definitely take you up on that.
Okay, good, Ryan. Any parting words you'd like to say to our audience?
When is the next synchronicity coincidence storytelling gathering?
I'll send you a link so that you and the people in your group can register for it. Once you register, you'll get notified every month about the Coincidence Cafe. And having you there, who knows what'll happen? What kind of connections will happen? Because stuff happens within the cafe, you know, people have coincidences with each other, and I don't hear about some of them, but I hear about some of them, but it's all happening at the zoo, says Simon and Garfunkel, and that's a zoo where it's happening. So I'll send you the link right after we're finished.
Amazing.
It could be a research thing that you could add to your lab to see what we're doing there too.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I look forward to joining and participating in that zoo of the synchronicity zoo.
I like to also think of it as not as a zoo. I do that when it's closed, but I think of it as a coincidence jungle. And I swing from vine to vine and get into the different spaces and different levels through it. And you're raising my level here, Brian. Ryan, I'm so happy to get to know you and get to know you better.
I will savor that I'm helping with the swinging in the jungle of synchronicity.
That's what we're doing. From vine to vine. Divine to vine.
The psychosphere is our mental atmosphere. Like a hologram of cosmic consciousness.